All right, the church is letting us get warmed up for Passion Sunday and Good Friday with a 3-page gospel. I know it's a long one, but it's so good. And there's so much that one could talk about in one homily, but you have to like choose one theme on big gospels like this. And something that I want to talk about is love and a particular type of love. I want to talk about spousal love. But first, I want to ask, like, what motivates you in your life? What's the motivator? What gets you to do some things that you normally wouldn't do? I think the best example of this and the most potent example is a true spousal love. What I mean by this is when you fall in love with someone, you will change parts of who you are or parts of your life in order to accommodate that person. The classic example is, you know, the bachelor who watches football all day on Saturday and Sunday, because Saturday is for the boys. But then when he meets someone that he loves, he wants to spend time with her. He'll change parts of his life so that he can spend time with her and woo her. So that's a huge motivator in our lives. In today's gospel, Jesus is motivated out of a spousal love. He's motivated to do things that he normally wouldn't do. And he certainly is doing some things that a Jew would not do in his day. What I mean by that is he's traveling from Judea, which is where Jerusalem is, and he's on his way down to Galilee, which is in the north. And instead of going around Samaria, which was the custom, that was the expectation for Jews, because they did not get along with the Samaritans at all. Instead of doing that, which he normally would have done before in his life, he went through Samaria. In the verse just before this gospel, in the Gospel of John, the evangelist says that Jesus had to go down through Samaria. And John wasn't speaking about a geographical requirement, because Jesus normally would have traveled around Samaria, but this one time, he had to go through Samaria. He was motivated, impelled to go through Samaria. And he was on a divine appointment, and he was on a mission to encounter this woman at the well that we hear of in today's gospel. And he identifies himself as a spouse. And he's wanting to meet her because he is wanting to reveal himself as a spouse to her and a spouse to the church. And he does this in several ways. It's kind of hidden, but once you look into it, it's obvious the different themes that Jesus presents to us as a spouse. So the first is he meets a woman at a well. Now, that doesn't sound like a spousal love, you know, at all in today's world. But in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament, it was the custom that a man would meet a woman at the well and then they'd get married. I guess that was like the dating app back in the day. I don't know. But Moses met his wife at the well. Jacob met Rebecca at the well. So then when Jesus meets this woman at the well, to the ears of the early church and to his apostles, they would have thought, is he going to get married to this woman? And that's why the apostles question, like, why are you talking to a woman? And I like to think in my mind that Jesus just gave them like the celibacy talk, you know, saying like, hey, we're not going to get married, us, me and you. And so then they're like thinking like, what the heck, Jesus? I thought you said we weren't getting married when they see her at the well with him. But Jesus is there for a particular reason. And he also identifies that this woman is lacking a true husband. He says it is right to say that you are not married or that you do not have a husband because you've had five. And so Jesus identifies that the woman is lacking an authentic spouse. And then finally, he thirsts for her attention and for her love. When Jesus says, give me a drink, he's not actually just saying, I'm thirsty physically. But on the far deeper level, he's thirsting for something that only she can give Jesus, which is her presence and her attention. And so Jesus identifies himself as the spouse. And just like in any marriage, you know, here on earth, when two people come together in a marriage, there is real fruit that's born. There's first a fruit of just a spousal union, of marital love. Your relationship with your spouse is different than any other relationship with anyone else. And then, God willing, that relationship can bear physical fruit with children. And so this particular relationship bears particular fruit. So the question that is asked is, what is the fruit that is born by Jesus being wedded to the woman at the well? And the woman at the well isn't just any ordinary woman, but she truly represents each and every person who on earth thirsts for something or longs for something that only Jesus can give. So that's you and I. We all thirst for the water, the divine life that only Jesus can give. And Jesus has promised to be wedded to us in that regard. So the fruit, what is the fruit that's being born? Well, Jesus has the source of grace and life with the Father to give us. I like to think of him as a fountain of life. And St. Gregory of Nazianzus, he's a church father, and on this gospel, he calls Jesus a thirsty fountain. A thirsty fountain. Which is an oxymoron, because if you're a fountain of water, you don't actually need water, you're not thirsty. But Jesus is a thirsty fountain, meaning he is full of this divine life that he wants to give us as a fruit of this union. And so he thirsts for us to come to him so that he can give us what we thirst for. So he's a thirsty fountain. And this fountain is full of opportunities to come into relationship with the Father, with God, our Almighty Father. That's the fruit of this marriage. And we know that the fruit of this is the sacraments, that the sacraments are the means in which we can come into relationship with the Father, where his divine life, his grace, is given to us. And the reason why this reading falls on today, the third Sunday of Lent, is for two reasons. One is we are approaching Easter, approaching the Paschal mystery of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And we know that Christ instituted or gave us the sacraments at the cross. The power of the sacraments, the grace that the sacraments give us, was won for us at the cross. And so as we approach Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we are reminded of just our need for the sacraments in our lives and the need for grace. And so Jesus is a full font, ready to give us this life-giving water. The second reason why the gospel falls on today is we celebrate the first scrutiny today. And that's a pretty strong word to use, but a scrutiny in the church in Lent is us recognizing the catechumens, the people who will be baptized on Holy Saturday night, who have encountered God in a new way in their life, like the woman at the well, and they long for this water that Jesus wants to give them because of the fruit of his marriage with the church. And so soon we'll invite the candidates to come forward, or the catechumens to come forward, and as we anticipate them receiving the grace of baptism on Holy Saturday. And what's the most beautiful part about this entire gospel and this day is that this was preordained by God, our Father in heaven, from the beginning of time. St. Paul in the second reading, he says that we have this hope that does not disappoint, because God sent his Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. I don't think there's more consoling words in the Bible than those. That God sent his Son to die for us while we were still sinners. This is to say we don't earn this gift, this grace, this union with Christ. But the Father in heaven has arranged this marriage from the beginning of time, because he is love, and he wants to share this love with each one of us. And so as we approach the anniversary of this wedding on Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, let us renew and recommit our love with our spouse, with Christ. And perhaps we need to fall in love with him for the first time, to encounter him in a new way, and just pray a simple prayer that Jesus will fulfill. Help me fall in love with you more and more. And let our catechumens be an example to all of us of the power of grace and the promptings of the Holy Spirit that is constantly drawing us closer and closer to God, our Heavenly Father. So at this time, I invite the sponsors and the catechumens to come forward for the first scrutiny.